Sempre può calare dal manedene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalata, figlia mia. Oh mamma, la 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 la. Oh mamma, la 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 la.
Hey, this is Gerald Celente. Trends this week. And a lot of baccalai out there, boy. Yeah, it's been laid out in the sun for a long time. It doesn't smell too good. Yep. The Brexit. The big vote. And what's going on now? How it happened, where we're going, and why it matters. You know, something very interesting, of course. You know, before this vote happened last Thursday, the day after Trends This Week, all of a sudden, there are these petitions going around to have another referendum. And they, people that wanted to remain lost by a vote of 52 to 48. Yeah, it's 4 percentage points. I mean, you know, somebody wins the presidency by that kind of number. Yeah, it's sizable. You know, people voted. But now they want a recall vote. And the media is pushing it, the mainstream media. This is unprecedented. And I say that because when do you ever remember an election happening and saying, no, no, we don't like the outcome. Let's have another vote. Now, let's suppose it went the other way. Let's suppose the Remains won and the Leaves lost. And the Leaves wanted another vote. The mainstream media would be making fun of them. What do you mean you want another vote? You lost. It's called a democracy. And by the way, direct democracy, to me, is the only path to the future where people have the say to vote, not a bunch of paid-for politicians. A gang of 536 in the United States that tell us how to tie our shoes, how to behave. They don't represent us. They represent the people that give them the most amount of money. They call it campaign contributions. Adults call it bribes and payoffs. So direct democracy to me is the answer. Going back to Brexit, it was direct democracy. So why is the media championing this phony petition drive? So far over 3 million to have another vote. I'll tell you why. Because the mainstream media supported it. And the people they kept putting on there were the champions for Remain. We even had President Obama go to the UK and tell the people there that if they left the EU, they would be put on the back of the queue. And that's right. And of course, we never use that word queue in the States. It's the back of the line. So now they're pumping this thing that they have to have another vote and that they're stronger to remain. And I'm bringing this into context with Obama going there along with others such as Abe from Prime Minister of Japan, and whether you heard from Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase, George Soros, one after another, all in the media, that the UK has to stay. Now, let's turn this around a little bit. And let us suppose that Vladimir Putin took a trip to the UK and told the people to leave. Whoa, hey, would that have been some news, huh? Yeah, big time. Big time news. But it's okay for the president of the USSA to go to a foreign country and tell them what to do, and then to sell the American people the BS line. But hey, that's all Obama's ever done since he became candidate Obama, folks, was to give us a bunch of BS and never follow through on the promises that he said, was that an exit from the UK would affect we, the people of the United States. Won't affect us one bit. But again, the propaganda machine, and boy, is it revving up. Anti-Putinism is everywhere, as though he had a role in this vote. I'm not making this up. Go to the New York Times. Yes, the paper of record. Or as I prefer to call it, the toilet paper of record. Oh, when I still had that Bronx accent, the toilet paper of record. Here's the headline. Full page. Despite Russia's somber facade, glimpse of joy over EU vote. How about editorializing, huh? How about setting the stage for the reader to already read hate and dislike against Russia? What kind of prostitute would write a line like that? Well, two of them from the New York Times. Ivan Nekoparenko and Neil McFarqua, Moscow. President Vladimir V. Putin of Russia received the geopolitical equivalent of manna from heaven when British voters opted to leave the European Union. That's the opening sentence. He received manna from heaven. And it goes on. Speeding his long-term goal of weakening the most powerful alliance, confronting the Kremlin as it seeks to rebuild its superpower muscles. These guys must have graduated from the Goebbels School of Journalism. What disgusting human beings to write such propaganda of hate so that we, the stupid little people that just live by sound bites, not including, of course, the people that listen to Progressive Radio Network and Gary Null, etc., could buy into their lies. Like the New York Times sold us the lies of Saddam Hussein having, you know, them uranium tubes and pounds of that yellow cake. Yeah, that New York Times. The Russian government, which has worked assiduously to undermine European solidarity in recent years, has any number of reasons to celebrate, analysts said. Analysts said. Then they go on to pick some flunky to parrot their prostitute beliefs, because that's what they are. They're prostitutes. They're paid to put out the news and information that their corporate johns want them to put out. The propaganda just keeps going on and on and on. The Kremlin is believed to be following the Soviet tradition of underwriting other political groups that seek to weaken the European Union. Also believed not that they are, and here's the proof, also believed. Hey, because they're prostitute, they'll believe anything for the right price, and they'll repeat it. This is disgusting propaganda, and it keeps on going. Caustic unraveling pulls at bonds that secured post-war order. There's another story. More than China, Russia is an outlier to the American-led international system, and Mr. Putin, at best a weary partner of China, which itself has severe economic challenges, in recent years has worked to divide and destabilize Europe. What a terrible sentence to write. I mean, just in journalistic sense. Mr. Putin, in recent years, has worked to divide and destabilize Europe. One piece of propaganda after another by the toilet paper of record. Russia has nurtured discord inside the European Union by supporting an array of small extremist political parties that foment nationalistic anger in different countries. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, that's right, because they also said over here that the Russian government worked assiduously to undermine European solidarity in recent years. So, of course, they don't have the proof. Excuse me. But how about those NGOs, huh? Yeah, those non-governmental organizations that the United States supports, spending billions on destabilizing nations, as proven by the words of Victoria Nuland, the Assistant Secretary of State under Hillary Clinton, who was appointed by her, who, you may remember, was in Ukraine when the revolution was going on, passing out cookies in Maidan Square, along with John McCain. And then admitting, and you could go to YouTube to find it, that the United States spent $5 billion for groups within Ukraine to bring democracy. Yeah, democracy. Don't you love it? As they rob us of all of our rights. Remember, George Bush said that the reason they attacked us on 9/11 was because they hate our freedom and democracy. Yeah, but when you see these new Supreme Court rulings and all the laws that Bush, Obama, and Clintons have signed in with executive order and with approval of Congress, yeah, we don't have to worry about anybody hating our freedom and liberty anymore as they keep stealing it from us. That Victoria Nuland speech, she's in at the Washington Press Club. Speaking about what's going on in Ukraine before the revolution. A democratically elected government, Yanukovych, whether you liked him or not, overthrown by a coup, and then the United States blames Russia for destabilizing Ukraine. But in an upside-down world, it makes perfect sense. And then you go on to meet the prostitutes, excuse me, meet the press, this past Sunday, and they have David Miliband, the former British foreign minister. Again, all they do in the mainstream media is flood it with the mouthpieces, the pundits, and the experts, and the government shills from one side of the story. And maybe a floating outsider from every now and then to give a different point of view. So Miliband goes on to blab, quote, when Vladimir Putin is cheering, then you know you have got a problem in the international system. when Vladimir Putin is cheering. So let's read Vladimir Putin's cheer. This is from the toilet paper. Mr. Putin said Friday that the result reflected public dissatisfaction with issues like security, immigration, the subsidizing of weaker economies, and excessive control from Brussels. Quote, people want to be more independent, he said. He went on to say, it is unpleasant to link Russia to every problem, even those which we have no link, nor make Russia into a kind of boogeyman. I should say that it is absolutely none of our business. This is the choice of the British people. This is the choice of the British people. It is none of our business. Yet, from the UK to the US, from Meet the Prostitutes to the toilet paper record, they keep demonizing Putin, while the facts are exactly opposite from the disgusting propaganda that they're peddling. So that we, the people of the United States, will learn to hate Russia. So that the neocons could expand their neoliberal agenda. In building NATO and the Cold War machine to new heights. Again, Putin says I should say that this is absolutely none of our business. This is the choice of the British people. Yet, Obama goes over there and warns the British people that if they don't vote as he says they should, they're going to get to the back of the queue. Yeah. Again, can you imagine if Putin did this to Russia and went over there and championed for the people to leave? Woof. Boy. Homeland Security would be putting up a red alert, warning us that there's going to be a new terrorist strike next. It'd be nonstop story in the media. So that's one aspect of the Brexit vote. The other is the implications. Think about it. History was made. And what the British people did was far greater than most other nations are doing. Again, or agree, agree or disagree, of course, think for yourself. I'm totally in favor of them leaving the EU because, to me, it's the breakup of centralized power, which I'm totally opposed to. I don't need others to tell me how to live my life. And if I live in the UK or Italy or Ireland, Germany, Russia, Greece, Sweden, whatever, you know, and I'm a national, grew up there, my ancestral roots are from there, you know, for whatever reason you believe, I would believe, you know, I want to keep that going. I believe in my ancestry. So the two issues that the British people voted on was one, that they were losing their national identity, and secondly, the waves of migrants. Not so much from the refugee crisis, but from the agreement from being in the Eurozone, the Schengen Agreement, that allows people from the 28 euro countries to move freely between borders. So the British people, again, it's their, as Putin says, it's their business. It's the choice of the British people. Their choice is that they were losing jobs from cheaper labor coming in. So those are the two major reasons. So for Obama or Shinzo Abe from Japan and George Soros and J.B. Diamond and others to preach to the British people what to do, it's none of our business. And the big lie, of course, was how it was going to hurt we, the people of the United States, if the EU left. So as listeners to the Progressive Radio Network, and when you tune into Trends This Week, you know that we said on June 15th, 8 days before the vote, what would happen if they leave. Now remember, this is very important. Major hedge funds, the bookies, voted with their dollars and their bets that the UK would remain in the EU. We saw it differently. Initially, should the Leave vote win, we forecast the U.S. dollar and gold prices will spike while equity markets, particularly those currently under downward pressure, will sink deeply lower. That's what we reported in our trend alert. In Trends This Week on June 15th. And that's precisely what happened. Currencies hit new lows. The pound, the British pound, plummeted to 31-year lows. The markets lost an estimated 3.6 trillion with a T. Dollars. The bank stocks, by the way, are getting bashed. And there's a reason for it. Gold prices, as we had forecast, climbed to 2-year highs. And as we speak now, they're over 1325. $1,325 an ounce. And remember our forecast. Again, we do not give financial advice. We are trend forecasters. Again, the motto is think for yourself. We tell you how we see it and why we see it that way based on facts, not opinion nor desire. And you decide what you want to do. You run your own life. Our forecast remains that should gold now move above $1,400 an ounce and stay there, you know, for a while, 1450, 1480, 1490, 1430, 1470, keep trading in that range, we believe it's going to spike to $2,000 an ounce. What's going on, and this is very important to know on a grander scale, is that the central banks are in an interest rate trap. They can't raise them. Very simple. You saw what happened with this Brexit. You saw the volatility in the markets. Go back to before the Brexit happened. As the vote was coming down, the central banks, government agencies, they all vowed that they would do everything they can to assure market stability. We even had the International Monetary Fund managing director, Christine Lagarde, say, quote, the IMF, would supply liquidity to the banking system and curtail excess financial volatility. So what this means is that we're going to continue to see more quantitative easing, more negative zero and ultra low interest rates to persist. That means that they're trapped. Go back to, again, same day as we issued that trend alert on June 15th. And we heard from the Federal Reserve that didn't look like they were going to raise interest rates because of our weak GDP, manufacturing is slumping, the productivity growth in the United States is declining, durable good orders are falling. So we heard Fed Chair Janet Yellen, in defense of not raising rates, say, quote, recent economic indicators have been mixed, suggesting that our cautious approach to adjusting monetary policy remains appropriate. I love the language they use. Remains appropriate. Let's get this straight. Go back to the Fed minutes. Following the panic of 08, they didn't have a clue what was going on. But they used this arrogant language to talk down to us. Appropriate. Anyway, so now we have it. You have market turmoil. To stabilize the markets, they're flooding it with cheap money. They're going to keep interest rates low. Remember, you go back again, on the same day of trends this week, on June 15th, on Progressive Radio Network, following Janet Yellen's speech, which followed our broadcast, the odds on the street following her speech were 50-50 for a rate increase in 2016. 50-50. Go back to December of last year when the Federal Reserve raised interest rates a lousy 25 basis points. For the first time, they raised interest rates for the first time in nearly 10 years. And it shook the markets because you remember how the new year began. The Dow hit historic lows. Volatility throughout the world in the equity markets. Bank stocks blowing out. Following a lousy 25 basis points interest rate increase. Again, the first one in almost 10 years. And just before I go on, this is a war against we the little people. We have no place to save our money. When I was a young man, I used to hear, you know, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. Yeah, they moved to Florida. I'd hear the conversations going, you know, my parents, may their souls rest in peace, and aunts and uncles, may all their souls rest in peace. You know, yeah, they saved enough money and they moved to Russia, to
No, not to Brighton Beach. They moved to Miami Beach. And they moved to Florida because of the money that they saved in bank accounts. Now you put your money in the bank, you get nothing back. So again, this is a war on savers with these ultra-low, negative and zero interest rate policies, because all it has done to is to enrich the rich. By having these low rates, you saw the merger and acquisition activity and bank buybacks reach new highs, for example, last year. It's slowing down now because of the financial turmoil, but it allows the gamblers to borrow money for nothing, to keep gambling, carry trade they call it, and the merger and acquisition and buybacks. They're borrowing the dough for nothing, driving up stock prices on buybacks, and of course with merger and acquisition activity, while it shafts we the little people. So now let's go back to what I was talking about. But what do they care about us? Because again, 95% of the wealth since 2009, it's a fact, in the United States that has been created has gone to the 1%. So going back to these low, negative, and zero interest rate policy and what it means. So remember, they had a 50-50 bet that the Fed would raise interest rates following Yellen's speech in mid-June. After the Brexit vote, the odds are now below 10% that they're going to raise them. And then go back to December when they raised them. They said they were going to, they didn't say, but they insinuated, because they always use that cryptic white shoe boy lingo, that they were going to raise them four times in 2016. Now the number is less than 10%. So what does this mean? And why we believe gold prices will rise? Well, once upon a time, as I said, when you had interest rates that used to be significant, holding cash meant an immediate return on what you were holding. But now, holding cash yields nothing. But holding gold is considered by many as the ultimate safe haven. And that's why the prices are rising. So when holding cash yields nothing in a climate of ongoing market volatility, for many, again, holding gold is considered the ultimate safe haven commodity. Now, the markets, of course, have rebounded. And for good reason. We believe they should have gone down a lot more than they did following the Brexit vote. But we also said we knew they wouldn't before the markets, you know, started plummeting. Because they have things in the United States called the Federal Reserve and their plunge protection team, and others on Wall Street, government sanctioned, to make sure there's no extreme volatility. Now, you may say, well, that's pretty good. I would say, no, it's not. If you're a gambler, you're a gambler. You go to Las Vegas or Atlantic City, and you start losing a lot of dough, do you change the rules? Yeah, if you're the house, then you could change the rules, because the house rules. So if bettors are losing a lot of money, and they're the big bettors, they change the rules. They call it the plunge protection team. It's anathema to capitalism. There should be no such thing. Gamble's a gamble. You win and you lose. But no, we have to have stable markets. Why? It's a gambling. It's a casino. It's all it is. So number one,
That's what prevented the markets going down around the world and in the States. In China, they have the national team. Here we have the plunge protection team. Government teams go in. Of course, the other one in China is a government team. In the United States, we have the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is as Federal Express. It's a private bank. Against Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 of the Constitution, by the way. Only Congress has the right to control and circulate money. But Woodrow Wilson, a Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Bullets, Banks, and Bombs Club, he was president of Princeton, he's the guy that gave us the Federal Reserve. So we have the Federal Reserve, a private group, manipulating the markets. Over in other countries, particularly China, they have, and Japan and others, they have the government intrusion right in front of your face doing it. So we are in a very volatile situation right now. And again, the big one to look for are the banks. Because the banks are in trouble. Follow the money. Follow the money. Italy resurrects plans to rescue struggling banks. Renzi, a.k.a. Fonzi, looks to sidestep strict rules in attempt to shore up weak sector. And weak it is. And keeps getting weaker. Bank stocks lead a global sell-off. Losses deepened across financial markets, wiping out $3 trillion from global stocks in 2 days. The number we found is actually $3.6 trillion. And banks, stocks led it. Here's some numbers. UniCredit is over the past 52 weeks down minus 70% as of Monday. Barclays minus 60%. Royal Bank of Scotland, not so royal, down 58%. Deutsche Bank, down 65%. Societe Generale, down 40%. UBS Group, down 40%. BNP, down 35%. And you go around the world, and the numbers are similar. In the United States, stocks fared only slightly better than their European peers. Bank of America dropped, remember this one day, 6.3%. Citigroup, 4.5%. Follow the money. Go back to what I was saying about negative interest rates. This is killing the banks. It's also killing insurance companies. They need higher rates to make money so when they loan money out, they can't make money in this kind of an environment. It's as simple as that. Not only can't they make money, as we can see by their numbers, they're losing money. And they're losing it big time. So now, with expectations for more quantitative easing, more negative rates, the banking pressure is even going to be greater. As we're seeing in Italy, Italy's at, it's way off the charts actually over there. The fall of the banks is, it's
panic in the streets when you look at the real numbers going on in Italy with their banking system. Italy is eyeing a multi-billion dollar rescue, or euro rescue, of its ailing banks using the market turbulence triggered by the UK's Brexit vote as an excuse to sidestep strict rules against state support for lenders. The bank stocks are plummeting there. Again, with these negative rates, they can't make money. So we're looking at, again, the fish rotting from the head down. And this whole thing about saving the banks, I don't know who made this up, but boy, oh boy, you know, it becomes the mantra that everybody has to repeat. Hey, if my business goes sour, who's going to save me? Well, am I better than not as good as a bank, a money changer? You know, aren't those the guys that Jesus Christ chased out of the temple? Yeah, nothing's changed other than their names. But we live by this belief that they're too big to fail as they rob us of our homes, rob us of our savings, and rob us of our future. But boy, are they championed as the great saviors. Carney leads effort to soothe markets. No, not Art Carney. He's with Honey Motors. No, not the Carney, the guy in, you know, the old Carney guy, step right up, put your money down on the Wheel of Fortune. Carney. Yeah, Carnival Man. He has the perfect name. Yep. BOE Governor. Ma Carney. The world's central banks, financial ministers, and financial institutions rallied to help the Bank of England in an hour of need yesterday, issuing multiple statements reassuring investors, gamblers, that their assets were safe. Despite risks that it might be interpreted as panic, the Group of Seven leading countries issued a statement of its own declaring the UK's economy and financial system were resilient, that they still sought to prevent disorderly movements in exchange rates. Why should you prevent disorderly movements in exchange rates? Gamblers are gambling on them and the house is losing money, so now you're going to change the game. But when it goes your way, then it's okay. Yeah, because you're liars, cowards, freaks, and fools. You're the Group Seven. And to support the functioning of markets, the markets are casinos. Why should we, the people, have to be taxed to support the casinos? Whether it's Las Vegas, Atlantic City, or Wall Street. But hey, they're in charge. They're running the show. Wall Street's hijacked Washington. That was our trend alert back in 2009. Following TARP, too big to fail, and Obama's bailouts. And you look at the people, Mark Carney, the Carnival Man. Where was he from before he got the job? He went from Canada, by the way, to the Bank of England. He was a Goldman Sachs cat. Yeah, that's right. And how about that guy Draghi over there in the EU? Yeah, Mario Draghi. By the way, he said of interest rates, quote,
We continue to expect them to remain at present or lower levels for an extended period of time and well past the horizon of our net asset purchases. The merger of state and corporate powers, he should know this, Draghi, Napolitano, it's called fascism. They're buying government and corporate bonds. Corporate bonds. Anyway, Draghi, former head of the Goldman Sachs division, headed it in Europe before becoming the ECB president, European Central Bank president. The guy that gave us the end of the Glass-Steagall Act, put it into motion, and did away with the laws that allow the derivatives scam to destroy the nation economically. Who was that? Little Robert Rubin. Yeah, him. Where was he from? He was under Clinton. That's right, Bill Clinton. Deregulated the Glass-Steagall Act. Let the too big to fails become bigger. Gave them all the power that was taken away from them following the Great Depression, put in place the heart of the Great Depression. Deregulated by Robert Rubin, former CEO of Goldman Sachs. Who was the guy that gave us too big to fail? Nah, it wasn't Boris Karloff. It was Henry Paulson. I think he's playing Boris Karloff now. But he was playing the head of the Treasury like Rubin was under Bush, under Clinton. Paulson played it under Bush. Yeah, he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs, too, that gave us too big to fail. It's a rigged game. The guy was the head of the Commodities Future Trading Commission. When John the Slime Corzine of MF Global, former senator and governor of New Jersey, robbed people of their money, went into segregated accounts like mine, and got declared bankruptcy, and never had to pay a dime for doing it or do any time. Who was the guy that was running the Commodities Future Trading Commission that would have prevented that to happen from happening? Gary Gensler. Another little slimy lowlife from Goldman Sachs. The Goldman Sachs gang. The white shoe boys of Wall Street. The Bank of England. The Bank of Japan. The Central Bank of Europe. They're running and ruining the world in front of our eyes. Hey, I wonder what the Kardashians are doing this week. Did Bruce get a new gender? 26% of the American people knew about the Brexit vote before it happened. 26%. That's it. And they hardly even knew anything about that. Even the ones that knew, other than out of the financial sector. So that's a wrap-up of what's going on. And it's a bad rap. And they're hitting us with it. These negative and financial, the negative zero interest rate policy is destroying we the people. Destroy the nation by building bigger bubbles, asset bubbles that are ready to burst. And I read it to you. The heads of the banks will do anything they have promised to rob us of more of our money and more of our rights to make sure, quote, to prevent disorderly movements in exchange rates, and they're going to pump more money into the system to, quote, support functioning of markets, functioning of casinos. We're going through very tenuous times right now, geopolitical and socioeconomic. I brought the Putin issue into it to show you how they're trying to divert the people's attention from the people that caused the failure and blaming it on somebody else. Like they blame
terrorism. Yeah, you slaughtered millions of people in Muslim countries. Young kids have no future. You think they're going to be radicalized after their mothers, fathers, aunts and uncles, everybody that they love, their nation, cities destroyed, having no future. You think you're going to radicalize them? You could bet if I was one of them and somebody blew the brains out of everybody that I loved, I'd be radicalized. Payback's a bitch. Oh, I got a better one. How about an eye for an eye? Oh, what about reap what you sow? So, the central bankers, the Wall Street gang, and the Washington criminals that we call our congressmen, senators, and presidents, and others around the world with different names, prime ministers, chancellors, parliamentarians, whatever you want to call them, have sown the seeds for this crisis. Rather than them taking responsibility for it, they're going to blame others. Because when all else fails, they take you to war. It also means that with this going on, it does present other opportunities. For example, with the Brexit, hey, how about if you live there and you were now selling products made in UK, made in pride from the United Kingdom? There's opportunities. There are two sides of these things. And that's what our Entrepreneur conferences are about. That's what our Trends Journal is about. And that's why I'm suggesting to you to consider subscribing to the Trends Journal. We know that people are having a difficult time. So we try to have a discount request page there. We try to make it available to in any way we can to prepare you for what lies ahead. And our Entrepreneur conference is sold out. And as you know, people are coming from all over the world. And we're going to have the speakers, Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert and other invited guests. I really suggest you call to get put on the waiting list. You know, things happen at the very end and people can't make it, you know. And I really suggest you're not going to want to miss this. It's sold out, but call Taryn Clark at 845-331-3500 to be placed on the waiting list. 845-331-3500. The Entrepreneur Conference is Friday and Saturday, just a few weeks away, July 22nd and 23rd, here in historic Colonial Kingston. And we hold the meetings at the Academy, the 1774 Academy, one of the most historic buildings in the United States. John Vanderlyn, the great Hudson River painter, among others, was students there. And again, we're not having any video on this due to the proprietary information that we're going to be providing attendees. And again, they're coming in from all over the world, from Hong Kong, from Italy, from Chile, across Canada, Ireland, Switzerland, and even Jersey. Nah, New Jersey. So anyway, I really suggest you consider calling Taryn Clark at 845-331-3500 and get on that waiting list. Again, I'm talked a lot about the Brexit, what it means in the grander scale, the geopolitical, social, and economic implications, but also how to look at the opportunity. Again, made in UK, made in England, made with pride. It's a self-sustaining economy. The UK's 65 million people strong. They can make their own shoes, their own shirts, their own computers. And being under the domain of the European Union, they were prevented from doing that in many ways. So if they had a government job and it was going to take steel to build the buildings, well, they had to bring in all the people in the EU to vote to whether or not their bid would succeed that of the nations. the national state, the national steel companies. They're required by law from Brussels. So now with this not happening any longer, they could build with their own steel. They could manufacture as they wish, create what they want, without others telling them what to do. It's an entrepreneur opportunity par excellence. It's looking at the conditions that exist that may be negative and accentuating the positive. And that's what we're going to have to do more and more to thrive and survive in these very difficult times ahead. The banks have put out the warning. The numbers don't lie, the liars do. Follow the money. The banks are in deep difficulty. The fish rots from the head down. Whether it's at the luxury markets, in jewelry or fashion, or from Picasso's, where the prices are falling at the very high end along with luxury apartments, where they've peaked. The fish rots from the head down. You can see it tumbling and crumbling. So go to our website if you wish, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. Consider subscribing to the Trends Journal. And again, there's a discount request page. We know people are having a difficult time. We get emails every day. We'll try to make it available to you at a reasonable price that you could afford. It's only $99 a year. And that includes the monthly trends, a quarterly Trends Journal, trend alerts every week, trends in the news five times a week, and of course conferences, which of course are separate, but we hold those. And again, you're not going to want to miss the On Trendpreneur Conference. It's sold out, but you can be placed on the waiting list by calling Taryn Clark at 845-331-3500. So these are times to be prepared. Prepare, prevail, and survive. And see where this is going. The market turmoil. Good morning. Banks can't pop up the systems. The lousy GDP numbers. Declining productivity growth. Terrible employment. Mama, dear, come over here and see who's looking in my window.